Recently, a letter was rediscovered. It was written August 7th, 1982, when the leader of the free world, President Ronald Reagan, took the time to write a personal letter to his father-in-law, who was dying. And this letter is actually an evangelistic letter appealing to Loyal Davis, Nancy Davis's father, to come to Christ. And we don't know what the outcome of that is, but we're going to talk right now about Ronald Reagan and religion. And in fact, our author guest is Dr. Paul Kanger. He wrote a book called God and Ronald Reagan. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Paul, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sure, Jerry. Glad to be back, and especially to talk on this subject. In fact, I think the late, great Dr. D. James Kennedy and I talked about this kind of stuff on Ronald Reagan back when God and Ronald Reagan came out way back in 2004.
Yeah, in fact, I was
carrying on the torch.
Yeah, and I was the one actually privileged to go out and do that interview with you for the program that Dr. Kennedy hosted and founded. And thankfully, the program is still going, even though Dr. Kennedy has died. The torch is, as you say, is going on. But here's the question. Ronald Reagan was not necessarily viewed as a Christian man by everybody. And here's, I remember this because I was a young man in 1980, and there were people who saying, oh, look, Jimmy Carter, he's the good Christian. He goes to church every week. He used to teach Sunday school.
Right.
Yeah, but his policies are pro-abortion, and his judges are terrible. And, you know, Ronald Reagan, he doesn't necessarily go to church on a regular basis. And, you know, he doesn't wear his religion on his sleeve. How do you know he's a Christian?
Yeah, well, that's right. And really, I mean, these questions only came up, Jerry, during Reagan's presidency. And, I mean, it was really two things. One, he didn't go to church on a regular basis as president. And the other stuff were the revelations about his wife, Nancy Reagan, and astrology. I mean, that became a big part of it as well. But the first part, the church attendance, I mean, that really only stopped for Reagan after the assassination attempt in March of 1981. Like the first 5 to 6 weeks of his presidency, he went to church at the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., the Reverend Louis Evans. I talked to the Reverend Louis Evans. He was the pastor there. I talked to him about this. Pastor John Boyles, who's still alive, he was the associate pastor. He can vouch for this. And, you know, Reagan joined right away. He sought out a church right away. He had been a member of Bel Air Presbyterian Church, mm-hmm. the Reverend Don Mumma back in Hollywood. So he sought out a church immediately. And what changed it was the attempt on his life. And you know, it became, after that, going to church became very difficult. There'd be a SWAT team there. They would have to put metal detectors in place. They had to frisk everybody coming in and out of services. And it just became a fiasco. And also, in addition to that, people would stare at Reagan and watch him the whole time that he was in there. And he felt like he himself was a major distraction. So, that's why he quit going to church. And it was not in any way a reflection of a lack of faith on his part.
Okay, fast forward to today. There's a biographer named Karen Tumulty, a journalist. She's working on a book about Mrs. Reagan, who died, you know, within the last couple of years. And while we're working on this book, researching this book, she comes across this four-page letter, I guess it was handwritten, by President Reagan to Nancy Reagan's father. Tell us about this letter. And the discovery of
the father was Loyal Davis, and he was a physician. He was and Ronald Reagan, Jerry, really respected him, had a lot of respect for him. In fact, looking back in some of the archival stuff we have on Reagan, we think Loyal Davis might have played a major factor in Reagan becoming a conservative, along with other people like Reagan's brother, who became a conservative before he did, because Reagan had been an FDR Democrat. He called himself a hemophiliac liberal, a bleeding heart liberal in the 1940s and even into late 40s and kind of even into the early 1950s. But Loyal Davis, Reagan got along with him really well, liked him, respected him. They agreed with each other on so many different things, but not on faith. And so here was the end of his life, and the end of Loyal Davis's life, and Ronald Reagan reaches out and, you know, attempts to basically a deathbed intervention to help try to bring Loyal Davis to the faith.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating thing. I mean, you just think about that. You know, Mr. President, we've got the premier of Russia on the line. Brezhnev wants to talk to you. Well, hold on. I'm writing this letter to my dad, you know, my father-in-law, to lead him to faith in Christ. Tell us about some of the arguments that he marshals in it. It sounds like something you'd hear out of, Billy Graham message or Josh McDowell book or something like that, you know, basic. Or even D. James Kennedy, Why I Believe, that kind of stuff. Basic Christianity, C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, he basically uses what anyone would recognize, you know, anybody from our circles, Jerry, right, who's read C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. He basically uses C.S. Lewis's liar, lord, or lunatic argument, making the point that, you know, that Lewis said in Mere Christianity the really silly claim that's often made by people that Christ was a good man and a great moral teacher, but wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't divine. And Lewis said, well, you can't say that, because if Christ really said who he was, said who he said that he was, well, then he would be a liar, or he'd be a lunatic. He'd be a crazy man. Lewis makes a comment about somebody is claim as crazy as claiming to be a poached egg, right? Yeah. So he says he's given you the choice of either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he was who he said he was, and that is Lord. And that's basically the exact same argument that Ronald Reagan made with Loyal Davis.
And he talks about prophecies that were forewritten hundreds of years before Jesus was born that the Savior fulfilled. You know, again, trying to argue to his father-in-law why he should believe in Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, he makes the arguments about the miracles, about the power of prayer, about here's somebody who, by his early 30s, went and did all that he did and gave his life. These people end up following him. Here we are, like 2,000 years later, still following this certain individual. He even makes the argument in there, and this struck me right away, because I knew that this letter existed, Jerry, but I had never seen it before. When I was writing God and Ronald Reagan, I knew that Reagan had reached out to Loyal Davis. I had heard about this. But in the letter, he even shares an anecdote about how when Reagan had been governor and he was going through really difficult time, a lot of personal attacks, and he developed an ulcer, and he started using Maalox. He became almost addicted to Maalox to try to deal with his ulcer. And at one point, he just had this strong compulsion. Something told him one morning, put it away. You don't need it anymore. And Reagan thought that was really odd. And then, like, immediately, two or three or four, several people came up to him and told him that they had been praying for him. And Reagan attributed that healing as some sort of a divine intervention by the prayer of others that had nothing to do with anything biological, anything medicinal that he was doing, but the prayers of others. And I had actually read that a couple different places. I think maybe even Michael Deaver might have wrote about it in one of his books on Reagan, because Reagan told Deaver about it. But here was Reagan actually writing about it in this letter to Loyal Davis, and he says, could that be a coincidence? Yeah, you know, it could possibly be a coincidence. But Reagan said, you know, he thought that was probably more reflective of the power of prayer. And I can tell you, Jerry, that's something that Reagan would have learned from his mother, Nell Reagan, who I dedicated God and Ronald Reagan to. She was that important in his life. And she strongly believed in the power of prayer, the healing power of prayer.
Well, your book is called God and Ronald Reagan, not Maalox and Ronald Reagan, for good reason. Do we have any idea what Loyal Davis is? By the way, I've never heard of a first name named Loyal, ever.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, that is. But anyway, how did Dr. Davis respond, or did he respond at all? Do you know anything about that?
Well, Karen Tumulty, currently doing this biography on Nancy, she seems to suggest that Loyal responded favorably to it and at least asked, I think, to see a minister while he was on his deathbed. So, yeah, exactly. So I'm not exactly sure where it went from there. But you know, if he did decide to talk to a minister, Reagan's intervention might well have worked. And for people who would say, oh, yeah, here's the most powerful man in the world, Ronald Reagan. He's dealing with the Soviets. He's dealing with all these problems facing the country, you know, all these different things that are going on. I mean, it's kind of a waste of the president's time, isn't it, to sit down on, you know, August 7th, 1982 and handwrite this four-page letter? I mean, you got, you know, the affairs of state to deal with. But Ronald Reagan said many times that there's nothing more important than the souls of individuals. He said souls are eternal and states are not.
Wow.
States come and go. Empires come and go. Countries come and go. But the soul is everlasting. You know, the soul can spend either eternity in heaven or in hell. So in Reagan's view, you know, this intervention with this one particular soul, despite other matters of state, there is nothing more important than that.
It's really cool. I mean, it really shows you Ronald Reagan had a Christian world and life view. Earlier, I was talking about Jimmy Carter, and no offense to Jimmy Carter, and I'm sure his faith is sincere and so forth, but I don't think his Christian faith, his biblical faith, informs his worldview when it comes to politics. For example, the sinfulness of man. Man's sinfulness is a critically important doctrine, and the founders, like James Madison and George Washington, they recognized the sinfulness of man, and they were careful to therefore delegate and separate power and not allow too much power to accumulate in too few hands. And again, I think Reagan had the Christian view even more than Carter did, even if Carter went to church more often.
Well, that's right. And in the Evil Empire speech, of all things, for the National Association of Evangelicals, which Dr. Kennedy and I talked about that back in 2004, but Reagan said, there is sin and evil in the world, and we are enjoined by Scripture and the Lord Jesus to oppose it with all of our might.
Wow.
And so for that reason, and it's very different from Jimmy Carter, he looks at the Soviet Union, as he put it in that speech, as the focus of evil in the modern world. And so that being the case, he's enjoined by Scripture and the Lord Jesus to oppose that evil with all of his might. So he wasn't going to accommodate the Soviet Union. He was going to look to try to defeat or at least reverse or stop the Soviet Union. And also in that same speech, he talks about not just the evil of the Soviet Union, but slavery, racism, and also abortion. He mentions abortion as well. So in all of those areas, you know, being a Christian isn't just about setting out to, you know, do positive things. It's about that too. We're about helping the poor and the homeless and so forth. You do those things too. But it's also about resisting and stopping evil. And so, Reagan made a very deliberate effort to do precisely that.
Do you think that a truthful, honest, fully faceted biography about Reagan can be written that leaves out his faith, his Christian faith?
No, I don't think it can. And that's a mistake that so many Reagan biographers made. You know, Lou Cannon, Edmund Morris, the guys who wrote these 700-800-page biographies of Reagan. And you go through there, and the only reference you see to his faith is maybe some snide comment about Reagan being obsessed with Armageddon or something like that. And when I actually started what was basically like a Cold War biography of Reagan, and I started reading his letters to get to the primary source information, that's when I started seeing material like this, including, by the way, I first saw Reagan use this liar, lord, or lunatic argument in a 1978 letter to a Methodist minister who had sent a letter to Reagan ripping him, accusing him of a quote, limited Sunday school theology or something to that effect. And Reagan found out that this minister was having doubts about the divinity of Christ.
Yeah, and we're basically out of time, but people can read about this in the article we're linking to this. Thank you so much, Paul, for being with us. Paul Kanger, a great writer, and one of his books is called A Pope and a President, that president being Ronald Reagan. Thanks, Paul. Always a pleasure.
All right, Jerry, anytime.
All right, thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.